Get to the chopper!
Hello and welcome to Filmponder number 31 and a half. Hey, Gustav.
Hello.
And howdy, Pete and Andy.
Hi there.
Hello.
From the next reel.
That's right.
And I ask forgiveness in advance for my poor English, but Google Translate and I have done our best. I'm going to start with the standard questions.
We have we always have the same standard questions for all our guests. So and when we have two guests, you will have to decide together for an answer.
Oh,
if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, we could do our infamous rock, paper, scissors to
water.
Figure out the
rock,
answer.
Paper, scissors, water, Andy.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Number one, which is your favorite movie and why?
Oh, we have to agree?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, according to our show, it would be Network, the fantastic film from 1976 that we both love dearly. And I think it's just because it's such an interesting glimpse into the world of media and how media just can manipulate audiences and strives to do so in order to make a buck and get bigger ratings.
And I think, don't forget the performances by everybody in that film: Faye Dunaway, William Holden, Peter Finch, Robert Duvall, Ned Beatty. They come together in a just a beautiful, beautiful way. They're so strong. And of course, the I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore is just a classic sequence. So
yeah,
it's a big favorite around here.
Absolutely.
I agree. It's a great film. I saw it about a week ago, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I have it kind of fresh in my memory.
I have to do my homework.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Oh.
Well, you're
so
in for a
good
treat. You're
you
in for a treat.
Are meddling with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale. And I will not have it.
Oh. Gives me the chills just thinking about it.
Favorite food?
Oh, wow.
I feel like my answer is super stereotypical, but pizza. I love pizza. Andy, where do you stand on pizza?
I love pizza, too. I don't know if I'd call it my favorite, but I sure love it. And Mexican food. So.
Oh, yeah, I like Mexican food, too.
Mexican food on a pizza.
Mexican pizza. Yes.
We have that in Sweden, Mexican pizza.
What is
Do
it?
You really?
What is Mexican pizza in Sweden?
I think it's
jalapeno.
Jalapeno and minced meat and taco spices.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's pretty much what it looks like here, too.
That
but,
sounds delicious.
Is it pizza slices or pan pizza?
Ooh.
Oh, I do the slices.
I slices, too.
Yeah. In Sweden, we have... it's pretty different from the American pizzas.
Why?
Originates from Greekland. Greece.
From Greece.
Greece, not Greekland.
Much more just sort of olive oil kind of... what was it? There's a great margarita pizza in Greece, or lots of olives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Interesting.
Okay, we do the next question.
We do the next question.
Okay. Let's talk about pizza now.
Shoe size. One question.
Shoe size.
One answer.
I'm
fully adult.
Fully adult, clocking in at 10 and a half.
Yeah, and I'm 10.
10 and a half. What's that in European size?
I have no
That's a good
idea.
Question. I can look at the tag on my shoe.
We didn't do our homework now.
I think it's about 43.
Sure. That sounds good.
Yeah, mine doesn't. It doesn't have European sizes on it. Oh, wait. 44.5.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, there you go.
Made in China.
Fully globalized shoe.
When did you wake up today?
About 6:30 in the morning. Oh, do we have to agree on this too?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, me too.
Great.
6:30.
Brilliant. How do you kill a zombie?
Oh, well, headshot. I think that's in the canon,
pretty,
right?
It pretty much has to be.
Yes. And I think, you know, if we were to be very specific about it, we would go the Shaun of the Dead route, and we would say you'd have to throw a classic record album at the head of a zombie to kill it. That's really how to do it right.
Yep. Or you could... Isn't that the Shaun of the Dead when they beat a zombie to death to the sound of Queen?
Yes.
Stop. That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you can either kill a zombie or you can kill a zombie with style. And yeah. I always prefer to kill a zombie with style.
Absolutely.
Anytime you can throw Don't Stop Me Now into the killing of a zombie, yes, always makes it better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we go over to the questions from the listeners.
Yeah, we asked our listeners if they had some questions for you.
That's fantastic.
And we got a few from our listener, Jonathan Blomberg. We have two questions. First, which favorite actors from Sweden do you have? Or what movies and TV series with Swedish connection do you like? I did a live translation there, though. That's why it was a bit...
Oh, wow. Well, you know...
I mean, I think, you know, of modern actors, I think Stellan Skarsgård has certainly proven himself to be a solid... I mean, you know, he's Swedish, but he's such a Hollywood actor now, I guess. But still, I think he's... I always enjoy watching him.
I would add... Isn't Joel Kinnaman Swedish?
Yep.
Yeah. He's but my favorite, I think, of all of them is Peter Stormare, who I just love. That guy plays crazy like nobody else.
A Russian.
Right. A crazy Russian.
That's right.
And I think we would be remiss if we didn't bring up Noomi.
Yeah, Noomi.
Yes.
Certainly. But also, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the classic Max von Sydow,
who's
been around forever.
Yeah. He's still around.
Still around and has always been one of the greats.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. You know, Dolph Lundgren, please.
you have to mention Dolph.
The first, he was my introduction to Swedish actors, and it took me many years to actually discover that there were, in fact, other Swedish actors besides Dolph Lundgren that really represent the country much better than Dolph does.
I will break you.
Totally.
And then I think I have to mention one of my Swedish crushes has always been Ingrid Bergman.
Okay.
Just Greta Garbo.
I mean, it's really you look at the people who have come from Sweden. It's actually quite a list.
Yes,
it's quite a solid list.
I don't know if I have seen anything with Greta Garbo actually.
What? you have just outed yourself with national shame.
I'm sorry.
Please fuck me.
That's it. I'm done. I wash my hands of you.
So, now did you have any favorite TV series or movies with Swedish connections?
Favorite TV series?
That's a hard one, I guess.
TV series is hard, but I mean, I guess you could technically call the Dragon Tattoo. Weren't the last two films of that?
Yeah, they were TV, right?
Swedish television.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't know if that counts, but I mean, I would definitely say that trilogy is incredibly strong and definitely one of my favorites. And as hard as a time as I have with Ingmar Bergman films, I do find is it Wild Strawberries? I think is the one that I really was always drawn to. I like that one quite a bit.
Yeah. I love the dream scenes in that movie.
It's just there's something about the journey that character takes as he's looking back on his life that I always found very touching.
Hmm. I don't know how to choose. I really enjoyed Fanny and Alexander. I don't remember when that came out. Was that was in the 80s? I think earlier
80s.
82.
Yeah. I enjoyed that, but I it feels a little bit trite to just keep coming up with Ingmar Bergman.
right.
So I need to do more of my homework.
Wasn't Let the Right One In? Wasn't that Swedish?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I had some issues with it, but for the genre, I really found it strong and overall just great characters and just very, very well done.
Yes, I really like that one.
Oh please, you guys, My Life as a Dog.
Oh yeah,
come wow. on.
It's been so long since I've seen that one. I need to watch that one because I can't remember very well. I know oh, I liked
Lasse Hallström.
But...
Yeah, Lasse Hallström. There, yeah, that's high on my list.
Lasse Hallström before he came to Hollywood and started making all the
crappy,
the treacly stuff that he makes. as much as I say that, I still always enjoy how treacly and sappy it all is. But
that's all right.
Yeah, that's okay. Guilty pleasures, I guess.
Oh, I guess so. Then he had another question. If we imagine a world where all TV shows and movies never made it out of the US, maybe internet was hacked by North Korea and the US sealed their TV movie borders, which movie, TV show, actor, and actress would you promote to capture the best of America to a foreigner visiting the US?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's a hard one, I guess.
That's really hard.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, I hate you. Why would you say that out loud? You're gonna make Sweden hate us.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. It's a terrible answer.
Goodness, the best representation of American cinema.
I'm gonna say, man, I don't know. I want to say Steven Spielberg, just because he has such a strong representation of cinematic style, and it's and always makes fun, interesting films. And I mean, he's not always doing some of the greatest stuff, but I think he's a good representation of just cinema.
Yeah, I think that's true, because you know, he captures so much of like the I think culturally a quintessentially sort of American youth. You know, that's one of his great strengths is, and you know, this is coming from me who's not wildly versed on quintessentially Swedish youth. But but the stories that he tells, I think, really connect with what it means to be growing up in America, and so I think that's a good recommendation. In terms of actors and actresses, you know, I go back to my to my favorites. Those, you know, it's like classic Meryl Streep for an actress. Classic, my goodness, who am I thinking of? Hannibal Lecter. I want to have Anthony Hopkins, but unfortunately he's not
he's
even
British, right?
He's British, right? He doesn't even count.
But I mean, even going more classic, I think Jimmy Stewart was a great representation of kind of America and kind of the just the persona of kind of a good old country, not a country boy, but somebody who represents our country well. I think he would work pretty well.
Yeah, you know, and we just did this week. We did Touch of Evil, and I think Orson Welles is a really interesting character, and I think he would export not only the incredible filmmaking talent, but a little bit of the psychopathy of what it means to be an American in cinema. Like, there's a little bit of crazy, and I think that he kind of captures that. But that film in general. You know, Charlton Heston and Janet Leigh, and I think there's a, there's a real sense of Americana, even as it takes place in this fictional border town on the border of the United States and Mexico. I think there's a lot of American sentiment in it.
Well, and something that Orson Welles has that Steven Spielberg doesn't necessarily explore quite as much would be kind of the darker side of things. Yeah. And I think there is something to that of a director who is willing to kind of look at some of the darker elements within a country. I think the lighter side and the darker side can be represented interestingly by those two filmmakers.
Right. And you go back to, you know, you talk about lighter side, darker side. I mean, I think there's sort of Martin Scorsese right in between there, you know, being able to export the light side and the dark side. I would add one more, which is the other end of the spectrum of the light side. For me, that's Mel Brooks. I love Mel Brooks. I love Mel Brooks's work. I love the laughs, and I think he is a great representation of the madcap kind of slapstick nature of American filmmaking.
Yes, we're sitting and nodding here.
If we should pick someone in the middle, then it should be Scorsese.
He does feel. I think he's definitely looked at some interesting sides of America, quite a broad spectrum, and he does feel like, I don't know if it's just because he's so much a New Yorker, it just feels like solid America sort of storytelling.
I agree, and when you get films from him that balance, Taxi Driver to Raging Bull to Hugo, that is an amazingly broad spectrum of filmmaking, and I think he bounces between them really well.
Yeah. Thank you. We are very satisfied with that answer.
Yep.
Excellent.
Thank you. Then we have a question from Mr. Tilquist.
Who tips us of your pod?
Oh,
that's why we're listening to you. Mr. Tilquist.
That's right. We are big fans of Mr. Tilquist.
You keep stumping him on the Instagram. He keeps trying, but you keep nailing it.
Yeah. He asks, how do you choose your movies? And then he even wants, and he also wants to know about your real jobs.
Mm. Real job? Wait, you have a job, Andy? You go to work? This isn't all you do?
I just sit here waiting for our weekly show.
Well, okay, so first, how do we choose our movies?
Yeah.
Andy?
We have a document in Google Docs that's just kind of a massive list of movies that, you know, we like and that one day we want to talk about, and we try to put them into different series and see how we can kind of create different series, and Pete will throw things in there, I'll throw things in there, and we just kind of create all this mishmash of this giant mess. And then, you know, I don't know, is it maybe once a year or so, we'll look at all the list and try to kind of build a list for the next year of interesting series that we think would be fun to talk about. And it's really just movies. I mean, based on what the show used to be called, Movies We Like, we really do try to look for movies that we generally like, or at least one of us likes, and something that we think would be fun to talk about. And we have so many movies on that list that, I mean, if we covered them all, we'd be set through probably 2025 or so.
Yeah,
but
we actually do, and I think, you know, we usually do the selection process. You know, we'll get on Google Docs together and we'll meet for, you know, an hour or so, and we'll kind of pick our favorite movies and then move those into our spreadsheet, which is our schedule. And that schedule, we usually do the planning for the entire year. Up front. So in December, November, December, we'll get on the dock and plan our movies for the year. And then Andy will go in and release, you know, this year we only released half the year in Letterboxd, but we know, you know, for other people to be able to keep up with what we're doing, for those who are interested in watching the films ahead of time. But we do know all of our series up front. I would add, we also do take suggestions for series, and we add those to this giant list. And, speaking of Mr. Tilquist, he has given us a suggestion for Swedish movies. Let's see, what was it that he did? Was it Lars Moodysson? And
Lucas Moodysson,
that's what it is,
right.
and so we definitely credit when we get suggestions that come in from listeners, so we take those into consideration, and sometimes we build whole series off of suggestions from listeners.
Cool.
Oh, our real jobs, Andy, you have a job?
I do actually have a job. Yes, it's not just this. I work in production. I do film and video production. I work at a company in Phoenix, Arizona, and we produce commercials, corporate videos, documentaries, TV shows, kind of the whole gamut of things. And it always fluctuates depending on how involved we are in certain projects. But I do that, and I work as the head of production there. So I work on the production side, helping kind of manage all the projects. And then I also teach a screenwriting class at one of the colleges here in town.
I saw that you had a pretty impressive IMDb page.
I guess it's all right.
Production manager on the great documentary The Imposter.
That was definitely a trial working on that film. Fantastic crew. A lot of these projects, though, when you work on them, the budgets are tight, and everybody's kind of fighting to make great stuff. And Bart, the director of that project, was very ambitious and really kind of drove us all with whip and chain. It felt like sometimes to really kind of get exactly what he wanted. And I think in retrospect, looking back on it, I think a lot of it was the right call to really push and push for something great, because I think it turned out to be a really stunning documentary.
Yeah, the story in that documentary is almost too good to be true.
Yeah, it really is. It's like it's unbelievable that actually happened.
Yeah.
Andy's got to plug at least his most recent, the Joe Show, which was another fantastic documentary. And talk about something that is, I would like to say, uniquely American, but I don't think it's an American thing. I think it's just unique. The story of Sheriff Joe Arpaio and the politics of law in this little community it's an amazing story.
It's very interesting.
I just heard about it.
It's our European distributor is trying to push it out there, so hopefully you guys will have a chance to watch it over there at some point. But it's Sheriff Joe is just a really interesting character, and it's really an interesting examination of him and his relationship with the media and where the line is between kind of politics and fame, and how does law enforcement fit into that. And it's kind of frightening, and it's really interesting right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys get much on your news over there about Sheriff Joe, but he is actually on trial right now for violating some court decisions, and it's looking possible that he may be found guilty of not having listened to the judge and doing what the judge told him to do, and he might actually even spend time in prison. So it's turning into a very interesting story right now.
Pete?
What
do you do?
Okay, I am also a freelance. I am a freelance photographer and filmmaker, but most of my work all of my work is for corporate clients. And so I do, corporate videos and commercials and launch videos, product videos. That's sort of one part of my business. I'm also a photographer. Contract work and, architectural photographer, etc. I teach like Andy, I teach at the university and the undergrad level, I teach business, media, and pop culture. And the place, it's all about the place where mass media meets popular culture, and so we do. Much of that class is all about proper critique of film and television. So that's where my heart is in this stuff.
Okay,
and nice. I should say podcasting too. I run the podcast network Rashpixel FM. So
cool. And Mr. Tilquist also wanted to know if Andy has Swedish relations.
I don't think I do, at least. If I do, I'm not quite sure. My heritage all comes from England and Scotland and Germany, primarily. But, I mean, it could be possible that from that point it goes back into Swedish territory. I just am unaware of it if it does.
Isn't that because the name is a proper Swedish name, right?
Yeah.
Nelson?
Yeah, Nelson.
Mostly when the name ends with a son.
Yeah, it's going to be Swedish.
Right.
Right, right.
Should we do our fun stuff, or what we should call it?
No, question is out. Don't you have any questions? How much time can you spare?
I'm still good, actually.
I'm good.
Okay, you shout out when it's time to...
To end.
Okay.
To end.
I have a question.
Yep. Sure.
When did you meet, and why did you do the next reel?
Oh, that is a longer story.
For you live so far apart.
Andy and I both grew up in Colorado, and we met actually in when we were in university together at University of Colorado, and both of us were you have dormitory based universities where you live on campus. Andy and I were resident advisors. We were RAs together.
Okay.
And we were partners in a big dorm at University of Colorado, and both of us studying there at the same time. So I don't know, that really, and we've been friends ever since. So we've known each other for years. And, you know, we've worked on writing projects together over the years, really with a limited degree of ongoing commitment, I think. We have a lot of started projects together.
Right.
But this one, I don't know. What's your sense, Andy?
I think this was just kind of one of those funny things where for years, because I mean, Pete started podcasting long before I got into it. And this was one of those things where, you know, he moved to Portland, I moved to Arizona, and we just weren't in touch as often as we had been. And then every now and then, every time we'd chat, he's like, you know what I've been doing these podcasts and they're so fun. It'd be great if we did a movie podcast, you and me. And I was always, yeah, it just seems like it would take up so much time. And I don't know if I'm, you know, really cut out for doing something like that. I just don't know. And I'm too busy doing all this other stuff. I know. And I really whined and complained about the whole idea for years.
Literally. Years.
It was years before I was finally like, well, maybe it could be fun, I guess. So finally he twisted my arm enough where I finally willingly agreed, and yeah, here we are, what, 3.5 years later.
It's hard to twist arms over Skype, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It took a long time.
You can imagine.
You did a great job anyway.
Thank you.
Now we do the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
I thought the fun stuff high bar was at shoe size.
Yeah.
A little game here we have. I'm going to read English movie quotes.
Oh.
In Swedish.
Oh. And you will have to guess what it is.
Good luck.
Okay.
Number one. Luke, jag är din pappa.
Luke, I'm your father.
There you go. Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
I need a buzzer.
Next. A little bit harder. Jag kommer tillbaka.
Can I have that again, please?
Tudung, tung, tudung. Jag kommer tillbaka.
I'll be back. The Terminator. Thanks for the musical cue.
Yeah, that helps.
I do one more here. What's your name? Nu blir det fel. It's a little bit wrong. Vad heter du? Andy. D-A-N-D-E. D is tyst.
Wow.
That was hard. That was hard even for me.
Yes. What's your name?
But I think I know.
What's your name?
I'm going to take it in English. What's your name? Andy. D-A-N-D-E. D is quiet.
Well, it sounds like Django Unchained as far
yes,
as the...
Yes, yes.
Oh.
That's one.
With the whole D is silent. That gave it away.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, you threw me with the Andy in there.
I know, that's what I kept locking on to. Andy, what is that, Dandy?
Toy Story?
Oh. One more? Mit name sure. Wright. Pete Wright.
My name is James Bond. James Bond.
Yep. Sneak.
In all of the James Bond movies.
Pratar du med mig? Pratar du till mig? Pratar du till mig? Vem annars pratar du med? Du pratar med mig. Jo, jag är den enda här.
Pratar
Are you talking
med
to me?
Are you talking?
Oh, that's a taxi driver.
Yep. Nice. That was the last one. Now it's Gustav's turn.
Those were awesome.
Those are great.
I have a little similar thing, but I've made it a little bit easier for you, I hope.
Okay.
In Sweden, we have a tradition of translating American movie titles to Swedish. And sometimes the translator is...
Drunk.
Is drunk, yeah. Sometimes they are very creative, sometimes they are not creative at all. And the results are pretty funny. For example, all Mel Brooks movies starts with Springtime 4.
Oh,
because
Springtime,
Springtime for Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler.
The producers. The producer was his first film, right?
It was toward the beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe not completely the first. But. And after that, all of his movies started with Springtime 4. or det våras för in Swedish, but I translated back to English for you.
Okay.
Because I'm nicer than Per. So I have some examples. See if you could guess what which movies they are. Springtime for Space.
Spaceballs.
Well, that'd be Spaceballs, yeah.
Springtime for the Sheriff.
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
But then we have some examples where the translator has been a little bit too creative. For example, there is one title which translates to Swedish and back to English to How I Teached an FBI Agent to Dance the Marengo.
I want to see that movie.
No kidding. I probably want to see that more than whatever the original was. That's not a Mel Brooks movie, right?
No, that's not a Mel Brooks. I left Mel Brooks.
How I Learned to Teach...
It's a movie starring... what's his name? Steve Martin.
Steve Martin is an FBI agent.
Steve Martin?
He's not the FBI agent. That's, what is that, My Blue Heaven?
Yep.
Where he's the guy who's, he's the, what was it, mob guy or something.
I haven't seen it, actually.
Oh,
isn't that right, Pete?
Yeah. I totally remember that.
Steve Martin and Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
And it was called How I Taught an FBI Agent to Dance the Marengo.
Yep.
You know, I was right. I would like to see that movie more than My Blue Heaven.
That's right. I don't recall it being very
not that great.
And we have an example where the translator just decided to explain what the movie's about. In the title. So the title is from Swedish and then back to English. It is A Policeman Gives Waitress $2 million in Tips.
Oh, that was, how was that Nicolas
Cage? It was a Nicolas Cage,
movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And was it Bridget Fonda?
You're so right. I think you're so right. It Could Happen to You?
Yes.
Ah, that's right.
That's the one?
Yeah.
And it was a true story, right? Wasn't it based on a true story? I think it was.
Was it?
I don't know, but maybe.
I bet it was based on a real life movie. I remember thinking about this. It was mid 90s, right? It's like 96 or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and there was a story that was in the press about this whole same thing. That's a nice gig. makes me want to wait tables.
Thankfully, this is a tradition that has stopped almost entirely, but there are a few examples lately. This first one is an Oscar movie. I think it was Best Movie. And the title in Swedish, back to English, is You Make Me Crazy.
You Make Me Crazy. And it was an Oscar winner.
Can you give me an era, like a decade, a year?
A couple of years ago.
Oh, just a couple of years ago. Wow.
Something like, I mean, what was that? Crazy Heart? That was, it wouldn't be Crazy Heart, would it?
Nope.
You Make Me Crazy.
Trying to think.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, jeez.
Should I give you a clue?
I might need a clue.
Yeah.
It's a David O. Russell movie.
Oh.
Oh, Silver Linings Playbook.
Yep.
Nice.
Wow, that's an interesting title. I guess it works.
It works. The first thing I thought was American Hustle. You said it works for that too.
Yeah.
You know what it works? I think it actually works for all of David O. Russell's movies.
They make you crazy.
They make me crazy.
Okay. And the last one is the most recent example, which is maybe the worst one. Sooner or later, I will explode.
Is it... I got this one. It was with... what's his name? He was the bomb diffuser guy.
The Hurt Locker,
right?
The Hurt Locker. That would make sense. That seems right.
Great answer.
I really don't think you're going to get this.
Or it would be the one with what was the one with Jason Statham where he's like he has to keep going or his heart's gonna.
Ooh, Crank.
Oh, Crank! Yeah,
Crank!
Yeah.
Right? Is it Crank?
That would be the best movie for this title, I guess.
So far, we really, I think Andy and I have just done a better job than the Swedish translators.
Yeah, absolutely. I would give you a clue here. One of the starring actors is Ansel Elgort.
Ansel Elgort. Divergent? It can't be Divergent.
No.
What else has he been in? Why don't I remember?
But Shailene Woodley is in it too.
Oh, no.
You're not serious. The Fault in Our Stars?
Yes.
Are you serious? That's horrible.
How does that make any sense?
That's so wrong. That,
I don't know what they are thinking about.
I'm almost sure they did that for the wrong movie. Somewhere the titles got swapped before they went to press. It really was supposed to be The Hurt Locker.
Well, the reason the movie has the title is because the book has the same title.
It does?
But then the question is why the book is called that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to write John Green.
That's a serious version of cancer when your body explodes.
Just, yes, that's everything. You don't want to get that cancer. It's the worst. You have cancer, yes, the exploding cancer. Keep your distance. I have exploding cancer.
So, it was fun stuff, right?
That was very fun stuff. Are you kidding?
That was a blast.
That was great. I could do that all day long.
No kidding.
I think we have only one segment left, right?
Okay.
We have a segment in our podcast where the guests give us a movie homework. But I would like to change this around and give you one, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it might not be a surprise that it's going to be a Swedish movie.
Okay.
from one of my... I'm not sure that Per agrees, but Ruben Östlund is one of my favorite directors. He's made a bit of an international breakthrough now with Force Majeure.
Oh, sure.
Have you seen it?
No.
I haven't seen that one either.
Then that will be your movie homework.
Force Majeure.
Force Majeure.
And it's it's featured on Netflix in the US, so...
Is that that Avalanche one?
Yep.
Okay, I think I remember seeing the trailer for that, so... Nice.
That's great. We will not only... You know what, Andy? Let's just do a show on it. Let's slate it in there.
Ooh,
we should. Nice. Yeah, we'll squeeze the show in there for you guys.
Absolutely. We are going to do we will watch it, we'll do a show on it and we'll talk to you about it. That'll be really fun.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll have you guys on as our guests to chat.
Oh, all right. That sounds fun.
Very, very fun. I look forward to that.
It was
it's
Swedish
a comedy. It's a dark Swedish comedy.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
You didn't find yourself laughing all that much?
Well, yeah, I did laugh. A couple of times. It's
I love movies about Ruben avalanche.
Ruben Östlund has a very special tone in his movies. They are it's hard to explain, but they are very realistic. But he captures the comedy in everyday or how
gotcha
to
just in real situations.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to it. Man, 92% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. People love this movie. Why haven't we done this movie?
I don't know.
It's probably slated for 2022.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great suggestion.
Hmm?
Okay. I think we are done.
Yeah. If you don't have anything you want to add.
Here's your time to promote the next reel and yourself.
Yeah.
Well, we absolutely we're so grateful that you guys have invited us on the show, and we love our Swedish listeners. It is amazing to me that you guys write in and participate, and so thank you to everyone in Sweden who listens to The Next Reel. It's just we're very, very grateful. You can find us at thenextreel.com, and we're on Twitter at The Next Reel and Facebook too. So we sure do love the participation and look forward to watching more movies with you guys.
Absolutely. And as always, you know, keep up the good work on the Instagram Guess the Movie Challenges. You're quite the player in there, Gustav.
Yeah. A real hat trick.
He's sharp, Gustav.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you. And for a great show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, guys. We really appreciate it.
And I thank Martin Tillqvist again for showing up.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Thanks and bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hasta la vista, baby.